Duffy's Beer presents the morning show on Trib Live Radio featuring Ken Laird, Guy Junker, and Tim Benz. 294 Curry Hollow Road, 412-653-BEER. See all of our weekly specials at duffysbeer.com.
The Trib Live Radio Triple Threat.
He wants three. You know that's a trip, trip, triple.
And Ken Laird, Guy Junker, and now Tim Benz right here on Trib Live Radio.
Hard to say it's been a bad preseason for the Penguins. It's preseason. It's tough to take too much away one way or the other, but when I keep looking up and they're getting skunked and giving up six goals a night to Detroit, should I be concerned here, boys, at the state of the team, the defense?
If they were playing Detroit in the Stanley Cup Finals, yeah.
The only guy that's getting praised every night seems to be Daniel Sprong, and actually maybe that's the best development of all, that they found some young talent at wing in the system. But, boy, you give up seven last night, 7-2 exhibition win, 5-0 early. Rick Tocchet said they're evaluating, and we'll hear more from Rick here coming up. But what do you think, Benzie? Are they just normal preseason feeling out experimentation or something to be concerned about here?
No, their defense stinks. I think their defense is going to be a problem all year long, don't you?
I do. Well, Gonchar and Pouliot don't look like they're going to be a part of it. So that should help.
I don't know about that. I'll read you from InsidePittsburghSports.com here. The Penguins, as of Monday, were still actively shopping a veteran defenseman to open up flexibility to sign Sergei Gonchar, NHL sources said. What many are watching is whether Rutherford has it in him to hurt some feelings and tell Gonchar it's not going to work out. Gonchar had another brutal night versus the Red Wings. Maybe Gonchar makes the decision himself to walk away, but talking to the agent yesterday, it sure didn't sound like
it. Wow.
That's amazing. Now,
I didn't like it when they first signed him, and I don't like it anything I've seen from him since. He stinks. He's old. He's slow. He's been out there for 25 goals in the preseason. What the hell are they doing?
Yeah, Jason Mackey tweeted last night. He'd been out there for 8 of the 15 they'd given up in the preseason, Gonchar, and Pouliot for 7 of the 15, and there were more scored after that, so I don't know what the total tally is now, but that's half your goals in the preseason have had Gonchar and Pouliot on the ice. I can't believe they're going to sign him. As much as I like my Laird plan of a 7th D, and you just keep him for the power play as a possibility, I wouldn't dress him on most nights with that plan. They can't really be serious, Tim, can they? I mean, keep him in as a coach, keep him in the organization that way as a signing?
That would be a way to avoid the hurt feelings, right?
Right. Now, what's the trade rumor that you were hearing? Also at
InsidePittsburghSports.com. When the Winnipeg Jets decide to seriously listen, and that hasn't happened yet, on trading for defenseman Dustin Byfuglien, a free agent at season's end who is expected to sign elsewhere, Jim Rutherford will be in the mix, according to NHL sources. Rutherford is obsessed with Byfuglien, a Penguin source said. When Jimmy sets his sights on somebody, he'll be in it till the end. He swings for the fences, a rival executive said. Rutherford has a history of chasing big-name players. He goes through Jordan Staal, Sergei Fedorov, making bids that they couldn't afford in Carolina for Parise and Suter, then getting Kessel. The Penguins approached the Jets this summer about Byfuglien when they dangled Brandon Sutter in talks. Winnipeg didn't seriously engage in talks at the time. Byfuglien is 30. He's carrying a $5.25 million cap hit and making $6 million this season. Penguins won't be quiet on the rumor mill this season. Perron!
Perron! How can they possibly afford him?
Well, if they get Perron out of there, what's Perron making?
I thought he's making four.
Too much.
Whatever it is, it's too much. Yeah, Perron, and then, I don't know, give up something else.
Wow, I mean, that's a huge contract Byfuglien's got. I guess he's a free agent next year, right? So it's the last year of his deal. He'd be going for it for 1 year.
Right. And there's a story yesterday about David Perron being from the Hockey Writers, a different outlet. The Hockey Writers saying that David Perron might be moved for defensive help. Certainly makes sense to me.
That makes sense.
Perron is making 4.25. So you find out another way to pair $1 million somewhere?
Well,
maybe that's the Scuderi. That's the Scuderi trade we keep talking about. So you can bring somebody on LTIR over here, and then stash that money on LTIR for the season. That's how you get Byfuglien.
Is Byfuglien considered a defensive defenseman? I mean, he's flopped a forward on some occasions.
Well, he was a forward for a while in Chicago.
I know.
Yeah.
He provides you some of the look over your shoulder mentality if you're on the other team, too.
They do need that, right? They do need a little physicality.
He's got a big shot.
I think I've always thought he was kind of dirty, but.
And now that you got
dirty
Crosby,
for you is better than dirty for them.
Now that Kessel's here, that's your skill that you added Perron to provide last year, right? You got your score.
Right.
So therefore, Perron's unnecessary in a way. It makes some sense, actually. I wonder what the Jets fancy themselves and what they're looking for in the trade. It becomes the next part of it.
Yeah, I don't know if they need another, and I put this word loosely in quotes, skilled left winger in David Perron, but who knows? Maybe I don't know what they thought of him when they played against him a bunch out west. What their own intel says, but to me that seems to be the fit.
Okay. I'm sure that would be another high pick, right, or a top prospect. And hey, maybe Daniel Sprong is now the guy that they keep pumping up to try to shop him for something like that, too. I don't know. Although,
but then you don't clear the salary concerns. You'd still have to move Perron or somebody else.
True. The Penguins cut four players after last night's game. They had already cut Tom Sestito, the enforcer, although I guess they're hoping he stays with the organization once he clears waivers. I don't know how likely that is. They then cut Oscar Sundquist and Connor Sheary. They also sent Matt Murray to Wilkes-Barre Scranton last night after the game. So we know their backup goalie is Zatkoff, and Sundquist and Sheary are no longer in the mix to make the team. So here are your guys for the last two forward spots now. Bobby Farnham, beautiful Bobby. Daniel Sprong. And other guys on the team that I don't know much about, Brian Rust, John Sebastian Day, and Kevin Porter are still with the team. So it seems like Farnham's locked now.
Yeah, Farnham hasn't played, though. I mean, it would have been nice to have seen him had a preseason. He hadn't played since the Columbus game.
Right. Maybe they feel like they know what they've got in him.
I guess.
They played Perron with Crosby and Kessel about a period and a half last night. Then Dupuis bumped up and played there for a little bit. If you don't, if you find that interesting at all, to go with your theory here, Tim, that they got Perron off that top line. You know, if they're going to be shopping Perron, then maybe Dupuis is the guy that goes up with Sid again.
What about Kunitz?
Yeah.
I think it's more Kunitz, to be honest with you.
Okay. At least to start the year. Let's hear a little bit from Rick Tocchet. He actually made mention of that he's not set with a line combo. Guy, you say this all the time. Lines change so often. It sounds like they're of the mindset we're going to have combos. We'll have pairs. Like Crosby and Kessel, we're locked in. The other situation, we're not at all. Here's a little bit of what Rick had to say after the game as he took questions from the media.
Detroit's a quick team, and they're a team to be reckoned with, and we got to be a little quicker. We weren't quick tonight, and they pounced on a lot of opportunities.
Daniel Sprong scored again tonight. Yeah. I'm curious your feelings on him. I know you oversee the forwards in particular. Do you think this kid has a chance to make the team? And what is it about his game that really sticks out to you?
For me, since development camp, every day he's got better. Like he's gaining inches. I mean, he was, you guys saw it, he's probably our best forward tonight. And he's a talented guy and asks a lot of questions and his details away from the puck that he probably wasn't at NHL level yet, he's getting there. And you see him with the puck. So. They're evaluating. He's in the mix.
We'll talk about the fourth line situation, because it seems like there's a lot of guys who could have taken a step up and got a spot on the team, but I'm not really sure any of them have.
Well, there's a couple of guys in the mix that are hurt, that doesn't help. But there's a couple of guys that have not jumped out yet. And, you're looking for that energy line, when it's a lull, teams on the road where, teams kind of dictating the play. You're looking for that fourth line to get the momentum. And, there's a couple of guys that we haven't seen really who we thought that would come in and grab the job. They haven't been there yet. No, I agree with you.
Is there anyone else you're looking to try out, so to speak, on the Crosby line here in the last game of preseason?
We put Duper up there last half to see that, get Duper. Duper hasn't played a year, so he thought he had some energy. But when you got Kessel and Crosby, you got Malkin and Hornquist, there's nothing wrong with having pairs, and whoever's going good, you throw on that wing. It doesn't always have to be set lines.
So there you go. It doesn't always have to be set lines. It would appear, though, if was this what you'd have in pencil right now, guys, as far as your line combinations? Crosby, Kessel, and Kunitz. Tim, if you think that's the one, that Kunitz will start there. Malkin, Hornquist, and probably Plotnikov, we think, on line two at this
point?
I've
liked what I've seen out of him.
Yeah, and they have a little chemistry developing. And then Bonino's going to center your third line with, it right now, Dupuy and Perron, right? Unless you move Perron. And then Matt Cullen's your fourth line center, and it just comes down to whether you're going to keep this Daniel Sprong, who we called their best forward last night, and Bo Bennett, and all
another
the other
goal
guys
for Bennett last night. He's actually having a pretty good camp, too.
Right, so would you have a problem with Bennett, Cullen, and Sprong to start the year as a fourth line? Is that effective at all as a fourth line? Does it make sense? I mean, maybe Sprong could be your third line guy. I don't know. Maybe Dupuy starts on the fourth line to get going as far as an energy line.
I think it's kind of a waste of time to dwell on it right now. Lines in hockey, to me, have become just, I mean, you got to talk about them, but they, like I said, they change all the time. So I'm not sitting here when there's still 29 guys on the roster fretting over who's playing with who. I'm going to see him playing games that count, and then I'll see what the chemistry looks like and make up my mind then.
I mean, okay, but you got to pick who's going to make the team.
I don't like Bennett on the fourth line. No.
I don't think that makes any sense whatsoever. Why bother keeping him if you're going to use him as a fourth liner?
I agree.
Okay, so then Farnham, I mean, makes more sense there, but at that point, like, Bennett's a scratch. Or
I'd rather see Bennett on the third line instead of Perron.
God, but Perron makes no sense on the fourth line either.
He should be traded for Bufflin.
Yeah, actually makes a lot of sense, the way they're thinking about that. They have good offensive ability. We haven't seen them all together. That's the one thing. They're losing these games 7-2. When they have all their horses going, they should be a team that can outscore somebody 6-5 if they need to be. TSN had their list of their top 50 players last night, and I was kind of surprised to see Crosby still number one, but he was ahead of Jonathan Toews. And despite Toews' success in the playoffs over recent years, some people, and that's, you know, this is Canada, so both Canadian guys, they still feel Crosby's the better player. Are you surprised to see that happen? That he's still getting top billing?
Yeah, I think I am a little bit.
Sixth straight year he's on TSN's number one.
Especially because he doesn't seem to be as lethal a goal scorer as he was. And he was never a Mario Lemieux goal scorer anyway. He was more of a setup guy. But the difference between goals and assists for him seems to get more drastic every year. I don't think since his concussion issues he's been as good of a goal scorer as he was before that.
Toews was number two for the third straight year. They had a couple players on. Jakub Voracek of the Flyers actually checked in, and he said, I think Crosby's rightfully on top. He had 84 points last year. Everybody's saying in a down season he had. I had 81, and everybody said what a great year I had. End quote. So there's
interesting.
A Flyer, you know, vouching for Sid, as he should be on top. Voracek also said if you were to ask the players, they would say Sid is number one.
Voracek said Cindy Crosby is number one.
Carey Price climbed 21 spots to number three after winning.
Boy, is it hard to throw a goalie into this discussion?
Yeah,
I think you got to, like we were talking about before, separate when we were comparing AJ Happ, J.A. Happ, excuse me, and Neil Walker, it's hard to bring a pitcher into that kind of discussion financially. It's hard to bring a goalie into this kind of discussion. I guess you can when you get to the MVP Vezina Hart Trophy thing, I'll do that, but best player overall, night to night, it's so hard to put a goalie in this talk.
Ovechkin was fifth, and that's a little surprise, too, I guess, based on the goal totals he had last year.
Well, you think he should be higher?
Yeah. They had
my view of Ovechkin, and I don't know what they think in Canada or other people think, is he is just too selfish, too statistic-oriented, and, I mean, what has that team done with all the numbers that he's put up over the years? He never passes up a shot. You know,
true, and the Islanders had more team success, which leads to Tavares getting the nod ahead of him, I guess, if you're going to go based on last year.
I mean, Ovechkin is a pure goal scorer, but that, when he doesn't have the puck, I don't think he's worth much.
Stamkos was 6th, Drew Doughty 7, Ryan Getzlaf 8, Jamie Benn 9th, and Erik Karlsson 10th to round out the top 10.
I love Jamie Benn.
Yeah, he and Sagan were a great duo. Connor McDavid made the top 50 before appearing in an NHL game. He checked in at 37th. And a couple guys' names that were out of the top 50, no Zdeno Chara, no Eric Staal, and no Jumbo Joe Thornton. So those were your TSN rankings. I thought that was pretty interesting. Six teams had no players in the top 50, including Buffalo, Carolina, Florida, New Jersey, Toronto, and Winnipeg.
Who else on the Penguins besides Crosby, did you say? In the top 50, Malkin.
Malkin, I don't even know where Malkin was. He was there somewhere, but I didn't.
Anybody put Letang up there?
Is he in the
this
top?
Like oh, a win healthy?
Kessel. Kessel was 36th.
Kessel. All right.
Yeah.
One notch ahead of a guy who never played a game. That's great.
Yeah. And team prospectus rankings are out from Hockey Prospectus. They've projected the standings for the year. They are picking the Penguins to finish second in the Met behind the Islanders.
NHL.com has a pretty glowing preview, too. If they stay healthy, they consider them a Stanley Cup contender.
That's going to be a tough division. They have Hockey Prospectus has six teams winning with 90-plus points in the division. They got the Islanders with 97 points, Penguins 96, Rangers 95, Capitals and Jackets 92, and the Flyers with 91 points this year. And it looks like it's going to be a hell of a conference, hell of a division.
Boy, Columbus was really good at the end of last year when they got healthy.
They were.
Watch out for that team.
Barry Melrose is picking the Rangers, however. Says they're solid. They're still the team to beat. They've got enough offense in front of a stacked D, and Henrik Lundqvist is still the game's best. So he's got the Rangers won. What do you guys think? You ready to pick division prowess?
You know, we're doing a little of this in the press box yesterday during the Pirate game. I was sitting with someone, Ken from Brand X, and Rob Rossi came over, and Rossi was trying to defend.
You can say Mike Pursuta, that's fine.
No. That'd be Brand Y.
Oh.
Or Z.
Jim Collins,
I don't know what
Jim
your Collins. Alphabetical order is for the other outlets where I
Rob
work.
Rob Rossi, who's from Brand X, Y, Z, L, M, P, and us.
So is Ben's.
That's right.
So Rossi was over there, and Rossi was defending. Actually, Rossi made a $100 bet with somebody on the Penguins will not, or a $100 steak dinner or something like that. I don't know if that means he gets a Ruth Chris gift card at the end of the season or what, but Rossi bet I'll put his money where his mouth is. $100 the Penguins will not make.
Rossi would be a Ruth Chris gift card. If it's Cabali, he would go 25 times to Outback. Or
Texas Roadhouse or whatever it is, Longhorn. But yeah, so his money is now backing up his, they will be no better than 9th in the Eastern Conference.
Wow.
I think they will be better than that. I think that they will put up a decent point total. I think they'll be 5 or higher is what I think.
I think they're going to start off fine, and they're going to score a lot of goals, and their offense is going to be good. They're going to give up a lot of goals. And the games that they're winning 5-3 and 6-4 in November and December will suddenly become 3-2 losses in February and March.
How many 20-goal scorers are you seeing with this team? They could have.
Malkin and Kessel, I think, are automatics, and Letang, if they're all healthy.
And Letang, too? I mean, Hornquist, I think, could get you 20 easy.
I'm beyond if they're healthy with this team. I never even put that caveat in there. I never put that parenthetical thought. I just assume.
With or without mumps.
Yeah, I assume that every one of their good players is going to miss 10 to 15 games minimum.
They could have 6 20-goal scorers, though. They really look that promising on offense. They also could be the worst defensive team in the league, to use Michel Therrien's phrase.
I think evaluating Fleury this season is going to be very difficult to do.
Yeah.
I wonder how often during the course of this year he's going to be put into a corner and beaten
swearing
about the
French.
Face and neck by fans who are upset with the goal totals and putting it on him and saying that he's slipped. And we all know the rest of the media outside of Pittsburgh loves to go after him too, and sometimes even the media within Pittsburgh. But playing behind – this is like a good quarterback playing behind a bad offensive line.
The Atlantic Division, Tampa is the consensus number one team, right? I mean, they're – defending Eastern champs. Beyond that, it's kind of, I mean, Rick Tocchet's praising Detroit. Maybe they are a team to be reckoned with. They got some good young talent there. They're coming through, including this Dylan Larkin, who was torturing them last night, the 19-year-old, plus Nyquist and Tatar and all those guys, the three Tomases they have on the team.
They got, what's that goalie? It's pushing Howard, too. He's had a great camp.
Hmm. I don't know him. Ottawa was good last year, coming on late. Montreal was obviously pretty good. Bruins will be in the mix, I'm sure, in some form or fashion. And, of course, the magic of Toronto now that they've added the best hockey coach on the planet. So
yeah, I have no idea if the Bruins are going to be better, worse, or exactly the same, and basically have just redone a lot of the things that they did last year.
Yeah, they brought in, like, Matt Beleski and Jimmy Hayes. And
right. Like, those were decent moves, but you lose Doug Hamilton. Chara and Seidenberg are dust.
They're hurt, yeah.
You know, they got rid of Lucic. I'm not sure what – remember, this is a team that the 3-on-3 – they basically made the 3-on-3 overtime for the Bruins. they better be the best 3-on-3 hockey team ever to make this all worthwhile, because of all the whining and crying that their fans did about not doing well in shootouts.
Penguins should dominate 3-on-3, shouldn't they?
I would think.
They should just pray to get to the overtime so they can win, get the extra point.
They won 3-on-4 the other night.
There you go. Brian M. Emails the show, talking Penguins here for a bit. We'll get back into the Buccos talking Steelers-Ravens here in a minute. Brian says, I know it's preseason, guys, and wins and losses don't matter, but is it me or was it a bit of karma that the Penguins management saw their team with Sid in the lineup got spanked at home last night? And the Geno-led team won in the spotlight, especially when the Penguins roster in Johnstown was their B team going up against the Tampa's A team to save their stars from the home games. Yeah, what was the attendance like last night, too? Did Sid really need to play in that game? Were people breaking down the doors to get in at Consol for the preseason game last night?
It was just such an easy issue.
Did you go
to
the game,
avoid.
Too?
No, I went to I did my show over at Redbeard's on 6th on Wednesday night like I always do, and then I came across the bridge and I was considering going over to the baseball game again because I just left my car here. I walked back and forth across the bridge. I was going to go back over and maybe go to the St. Louis-Pittsburgh game, but it was such a joke by the time I got over there. I just went home and watched it on TV.
18,207 they listed. That's a couple hundred short of the sellout.
It looked pretty empty to me.
Then maybe I guess that's tickets sold, though, anyway, right?
Brian in South Beach says, the Penguins are a mess, guys. Flaccid effort last night. They're incredibly soft and small. They seem to have little fire or passion.
Soft, Detroit's small, and slow.
And flaccid.
Aside from that, they're great.
Detroit's kids smoked them. Letang had to fight because there's nobody else to push back. Rutherford razzled and dazzled by adding the big fish, but the soft underbelly of this team is going to get gutted by the Metro rivals.
He may be right, but I'm not judging passion in a preseason game.
Yeah, I can't do that.
That's tough to go.
It's about working things out.
Brian also says, P.S., watch the 7th Detroit goal last night. Gonchar is just awful. No team in the league would sign this guy, except the Penguins. Probably true.
That's true. We definitely
played
with
Montreal last year, though.
Yeah, Scott says, left off their playoff roster.
Yeah, he was. Scott says the Penguins got to make a move on Pouliot, guys. He's not where he needs to be. In this division, they can't wait until the trade deadline because by then it might be too late. That's another good point. They got off to a great start last year, and it saved them. They have to have another good start this year. Courtney says, can we trade Laird for Dustin Byfuglien? It's only preseason hockey. Let's not freak out just yet. Thank you, Courtney.
What did she say, Ann?
She wanted to trade me for Dustin Byfuglien.
Oh, yeah. Well,
I'm sure you guys would take
that'd
be flattering.
I'd trade you for Dust.
Mike says, I think Carey Price is overrated. I'd take Fleury over Price. The Pens need to quit wasting his best years. Wow. Not too many people would say Fleury's ahead of Price. I got to say that.
No, not yet. No. I mean, I love Fleury, but I can't do that.
I think Fleury's underappreciated in this town, though.
And Ryan says, the Penguins are nuts. This defense is awful. Doesn't matter if it's preseason, regular season, or playoffs. Yeah. They are a team of stars that haven't scored a big goal in a big spot since Vancouver in 2010. And GM Grandpa Grumps has a bunch of 80s throwback defensemen that don't take the body and try stretch passes no matter what. They say Lemieux isn't involved. This is his dream team from hell. Happy Victober. Good email, Ryan.
Man, you love this Victober thing. If that catches on, we'd be very upset.
Everything I say catches on. The Laird plan, aren't you noticing what's happening?
Yeah, the Laird plan. One of the two Laird plans you want to scrap already. The other one you were already making excuses for. Well, two of them now. Gonchar, meaningless September baseball.
I called the Bengals winners of the division.
That's not the Laird plan.
True. Laird premonitions, Laird opinions, always right.
Conversion Tober. Two point Tober.
We'll have Pat Bosley coming on to talk some Pitt at 11:40. Let's get back into some Buccos issues. Want to hear from McCutchen here after last night's loss, whether you want to or not. I want to.
Yeah, I want to.
Kutch has not been trending real well into the postseason. No. Somebody pointed out he's been stuck on 95 RBI for about 3 weeks now. You'd think he would have cracked 100 easily. He's been walked a lot. So that's part of it, right? He just hasn't had a ton of opportunities,
I
guess.
23 times since September 6th he's been walked.
Wow. Can he be the guy that takes Arrieta deep or drives in the one lone run next week or whatever? But, of course, last night I was talking more about the losing of the division. Here's what the Pirates MVP had to say.
I mean, you can look at it that way. If you feel like being frustrated, you can say, dang, we'd be in any other division, we'd be first place. You could say that, but, why dwell on something that's not possible? So, you got to man up and just be like, hey, they played better. They had 100 wins, we got 96. So, that's why they won it.
Can you appreciate how impressive 96 wins are?
It's really good. I mean, like I said, and this isn't upsetting, but, you put us in any other division, we're in first place. We're in first place by a few games. So, you can look at it like that. You can't shy away from the fact that, that we do have 96 wins. It's just the fact that the Cardinals have 100, and it makes us kind of look like the bottom of the barrel bunch. And, but we got to be proud that. That we are at 96 and we can finish up the season at 99.
Will the team have an easy time refocusing on the wild card now?
No, we won't. We'll be fine.
Andrew, when you guys talk about the next step in spring training, were you talking about the division? Were you talking about getting a playoff series win? Or were you guys talking about a world championship?
World championship. That's the reason we're here. And, anything less than that is uncivilized.
Thanks to Josh Taylor for that post-game audio.
That's kind of stupid but funny at the same time.
This is uncivilized. It's great. However, 11 games now without an RBI from Andrew McCutchen. September 19th was his last game with a ribby. LA.
Did you give his numbers since Gunn got hurt?
I did not.
His numbers since Gunn got hurt. I had him here. Hold on 1 second. McCutchen is hitting .231, 9-for-39 since the Gunn injury, and I don't think he's had a multi-hit game since Gunn went out.
That's pretty eye-opening. His protector right in the lineup is what you're getting at, the guy behind him. He's hit .237 for the month with two homers.
As I recall, his Septembers, he's had some bad Septembers before, hasn't he?
Summers are always hot.
Yeah, I think the 2 years where they made a false run, where they sort of
they
were emerging
apart
from the blackness.
He tailed off a lot at the end.
I have to go back and look at this, but as memory serves, he did tail off. I thought he was okay these last two Septembers, though. Wasn't he?
I think last year he was.
I'll go back and look at that.
Josh
will look at that. That's my code speak. I'll go back and look at that. Means Josh is on the computer right now.
Chris in Boulder, Colorado emails. Great teams and championship teams are remembered for how they perform in the biggest games. Two most critical series of the last 25 years, the Pirates are 2-5, not an indication of a championship-level team. Extremely disappointing. Much of the blame goes to Huntington and Hurdle for me. Anybody noticed the Blue Jays won their division. They got impact players at the deadline who made a difference. The Pirates got mediocrity with the exception of Hap, and they mismanaged their lineups. Plain and simple, they choked. Wow. From Chris. Does he spit any part of truth there to you guys?
What are the most critical series? Were there 2-5?
I guess he's talking about the Braves series. The three Braves series, the Cardinals series, and then I would have, maybe just wild card game last year. So 2-5 in postseason events, if you don't call those wild card games a series. That's not, under Huntington and Hurdle, they're 1-2, and we'll see how they do this year.
Actually, to be 1-5, right? Lost three under Leland, lost Cardinals and Giants, and beat the Reds.
Oh, true.
I simply say they haven't won a playoff series since 1979. They haven't won a series in the postseason since 1979. They won a game, but not a series.
Well, the Jays do look damn good right now, but who knows? They could go out in the first round too. I mean, I have no faith in predicting who's going to win these postseason baseball series. Do you?
And he's exactly right that teams are remembered for what they do in those big games. I mean, we talked yesterday about the improbability of them winning the 60 World Series, but even the 71 World Series, and you know, one jag off the Baltimore writer took the Orioles in three. Because they had all those 20-game winners, and they thought the Pirates were just fodder. 79, Bill Hillgrove always tells a story. They worked out of a TV station in Baltimore in 79, another Hearst station. Everybody in the newsroom were wearing World Championship Oriole T-shirts before the series was over. I mean, they faced incredible odds before, and that's what you have to do. The Penguins in Game 7 in Detroit, the first team in any of the major sports to win a Game 7 on the road since the 79 Pirates. So this stuff does happen. The improbable stuff does happen. But, you look at a team that's as fundamentally flawed as this one is, and it looks like it'd be tough for them to pull that off.
I mean, per the records, the favorites right now are St. Louis and Toronto. But I'd bet the field against those two. Would it be surprising to you if the Mets and the Texas Rangers were in the World Series?
No, it wouldn't surprise me if anybody gets in.
Right. Jason emails the show. Went to the Pens game last night, guys. There were maybe half the arena filled. After the second, a lot of fans left. Every time I see Lovejoy, I just think of the trade for Dupre and how bad it really was.
I never liked that move. I really didn't. I don't think he played as well as some people even suggested, and he was bad in the playoffs.
What kind of camp has Lovejoy had? Has Dupre had? Anybody paying any attention to him?
I have not.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like two regimes of management here grew weary of Dupre, and I don't think it was all on ice stuff, but that doesn't mean you have to give him away either.
Ryan says, if you notice in those TSN rankings, the Norris Trophy candidate, in quotes, Chris Letang, wasn't in the top 50. There were 13 defensemen in the top 50. Not bad for $7.25 million a year. It's an interesting thought. Also, Zappa and Seabus. Pirates should set their goal every year to be good enough to win a wild card game to face one of the best pitchers in the National League. Apparently, they didn't play up to par. Don't give me great season, wild card, blah, blah, blah. The Cards won the division. They kept winning despite all the major injuries. Pirates had mostly their entire lineup intact, and they couldn't win as much as the Cards. See you next year again in the wild card. Got some skepticism and negativity today.
You know, if they get in the wild card again, it's hard to keep doing this. You know, it's hard to keep making the playoffs every year in baseball. So with that being the case, and like I keep saying, if they are going to be, in this perpetual... We're trying to replace every good part of this chemistry that we put together mode without spending money. That it's a hard balance to keep together. I can't even assume they're going to make the wild card next year. Can you?
Well, that's why Hurdle, for his Manager of the Year campaign, if you could throw in all 3 years. He made the playoffs 3 years in a row. I think that's quite a feat for him, more so than this year in and of itself, because I would have thought they would have regressed and missed one of these years too, Tim.
Well, the Cubs will go out and get another pitcher, I'll bet, this offseason. They have more money to spend. The Cardinals, organizationally, have been more solid for a longer period of time. Neither of them are going away. Now, it's a three-horse race, and I think the Cubs pass the Pirates up next year. So now you're going to have to try to get the second wild card spot or try to make the playoffs as the third-place team, depending on the moves they make.
If Glasnow and Tyone are as good as we think they could be, I don't necessarily agree with that guy. If those two are aces and you put them with Cole and Liriano, this is the best rotation in the division. But that's a big if. You know, those two haven't pitched a game in the big leagues yet. And I'm sure the Cardinals and the Cubs have good, as you say, good players coming. But you think the Cubs will go out and add a Cueto or something like that? Or one of these big fish?
I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah, in that case, I guess you're right. They go out and add another ace.
You got to fear them because of their money.
All right, quick pause. Pat Bostic going to join us to get a little college football fixed in here. Pitt and Vatek are coming up this weekend, probably in a monsoon, but doesn't mean Pat can't analyze it properly as to what this game will be like. We're brought to you by Duffy's Beer.
By the way, that's going to affect apparently the Eagles game. Did you see that? The Eagles-Redskins game?
They're concerned
that they might have to move it.
Well, the whole coast, 100% chance of rain at the Penn State Army game, too.
That's going to hurt attendance there.
He'll only have 111,000.
They deserve what they get, though, for scheduling Army in week five or whatever we're in.
It's actually sold out.
Duffy's Beer is at 412-653-BEER and at duffysbeer.com. Pumpkin Beer and Oktoberfest beers, go get them now before they're gone. Duffy's Beer and much more in Pleasant Hills. Guy Junker, Tim Benz, Ken Laird, Pat Bostic talking Pitt Vautech in the weekend in college football. Up next here on the Trib Live Radio Morning Show.
Looking for a quality car wash without breaking the bank? Mr. Magic Car Wash offers daily discounts and will have your car clean, shiny, and dry in just minutes. Visit MrMagicCarWash.com today for more information about our services and to find a location near you. At Mr. Magic Car Wash, we use the latest technology to safely and effectively clean your vehicle. Our soft cloth, fresh water, and blend of 9 different detergents will gently remove dirt, leaving your car clean, shiny, and dry every time. Check out Mr. Magic Car Wash at any of these 5 great locations: Brentwood, Castle Shannon, Banksville Road, Upper St. Clair, and Bridgeville. In the nation, we make wise investment choices. We work hard for our money. We want our money to work even harder for us. At Nationwide, we have products and solutions to help you and your family build for the future. Contact Nationwide's Rich Garland today at 412-678-8868. That's 412-678-8868 to find out if your money could be working harder for you. Auto, home, life, bundle up, and save up to 25% off. Nationwide has more discounts on home insurance, so you can save more money. Combine your auto, home, and life policies, and you could save up to 25% off. Plus, you'll get our famous On Your Side service. To learn more about combining your policies, call Rich Garland today at 412-678-8868. Good luck for a great season to all local teams from Fayette Honda, located at 3 Superior Way in Uniontown. Move up to a Honda on top of the hill across from Walmart. Call Fayette Honda at 724-438-4868. That's 724-438-4868. Online at FayetteHonda.com.
Duffy's Beer and much more in Pleasant Hills. 412-653-BEER. See all of our weekly specials at Duffy'sBeer.com. And get your pumpkin and Oktoberfest beers before they're gone. Your South Hills headquarters for beer, pop, snacks, vapes, home brewing supplies, and all your party and tailgating needs for this week's game. Duffy's Beer and much more in Pleasant Hills. And online at Duffy'sBeer.com.